Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Meteorology Matters.
Glad to be back.
You know, we're tackling homeowners insurance today.
Yeah,
It's been all over the news lately, and for good reason.
it's a really big deal for a lot of people.
Absolutely. And, from coast to coast, it feels like premiums are skyrocketing
Yeah.
and insurers are pulling out of markets. And a lot of folks are wondering, like, what
Yeah.
is going on?
It's a really complicated situation. And
Yeah.
for a lot of people, it's stressful too.
Absolutely. And whether you're buying your first home,
Yeah.
or you've been in yours for years, or maybe you're just curious about, the forces that are shaping our world. I mean, this is definitely something that you should understand.
It really is.
We've all seen the images of those devastating wildfires in Los Angeles
Right.
and the aftermath of Hurricane Milton in Florida.
Yeah, and those are just two examples,
Right.
but they really highlight this insurance issue and bring it to the forefront.
Absolutely. And, those events aren't just local tragedies. They're highlighting a trend that's been building for a while.
That's right.
Climate change is a major factor
Yeah.
driving this whole crisis. We're seeing more frequent and intense weather events,
That's right.
which of course means more damage,
Yeah.
more claims for insurance companies to pay out.
Exactly. More payouts and.
Yeah, and it's not just the number of events, is it? I
No.
mean, the cost of rebuilding after a disaster has gone way up.
That's
I
right.
mean, lumber these days, oh my gosh.
It's really impacting everything.
It is. So inflation is playing a huge role here too.
Absolutely.
Building materials are more expensive, labor costs are more expensive. All of that translates into higher rebuilding costs.
Yes.
Even seemingly minor damage can end up being a really hefty insurance payout.
Oh, for sure.
So we've got climate change fueling more disasters.
Yeah.
We've got inflation making it more expensive to recover. What else is contributing to this perfect storm in the insurance market?
Well, insurance companies are having a really hard time predicting risk. I know climate change is changing the historical weather patterns.
Right.
So these models that they use to, assess the likelihood of a wildfire or a hurricane,
Right.
they're not as reliable as they used to be.
So they're having to adjust their calculations
Yes.
and account for more uncertainty. And that probably means higher premiums for all of us, right?
Exactly. It translates into higher premiums for homeowners, and that uncertainty is
Yeah.
hitting them hard financially.
Okay.
In 2023, homeowner insurance payouts actually exceeded the premiums they collected
Wow.
by $15.2 billion.
That's a lot.
It's the worst result this century,
Wow.
and it really shows the financial pressure that they're under.
So that's a massive deficit for them.
It
I
is.
mean, they can't just keep absorbing those losses, can they?
No, they can't. And on top of that,
Okay.
the cost of reinsurance.
Reinsurance.
Yeah, essentially insurance for insurance companies,
Right.
that has gone up over 40% in the past 3 years.
Wow.
So they're paying more to protect themselves. And those costs get passed down to homeowners.
Like a domino effect.
It is.
All these factors converging, and homeowners are the ones feeling the squeeze.
Right.
We're hearing stories about people facing huge premium increases,
Yeah.
getting dropped by their insurers, having trouble even finding new coverage.
That's right. And the numbers back it up.
Yeah.
Non-renewal notices, where insurance companies decide not to renew existing policies,
Right.
surged almost 30% from 2018 to 2022.
Wow, that's a lot.
It's a trend that's impacting homeowners all over the country.
Yeah, and speaking of trends, it seems like California has become a focal point of this crisis,
Yeah.
especially with those recent wildfires. What's the situation there?
Well, California is a prime example of how climate change and the insurance market are clashing.
Right.
It's been hit really hard by wildfires,
Yeah.
and insurers are taking notice.
Yeah.
Big names like State Farm and Allstate have stopped selling new homeowner policies in the state, and they're dropping thousands of existing policies in these high-risk fire zones.
I can't imagine the feeling of being told,
Yeah.
your insurance won't be renewed,
Right.
especially in a place where wildfire risk is so real.
It's a devastating situation for a lot of homeowners.
It is.
And it sparked public outrage,
Yeah.
especially after filmmaker Tyler Perry called out insurance companies on social media
I saw that.
for abandoning residents in fire-prone areas.
Yeah.
And his post went viral and really put a spotlight on this whole issue.
Yeah, it's understandable that people are angry.
Yeah.
They've been paying premiums for years,
Right.
and now they're being told you're on your own.
Exactly. And a lot of these homeowners are being forced
Yeah.
into the state-backed FAIR plan.
Right, the insurer of last resort.
Right.
But that's not always a great option, is it?
No, it's not ideal. It's often more expensive,
Right.
offers less coverage than traditional insurance.
Right.
It's meant to be a safety net.
Right.
But it's not a long-term solution.
So California homeowners are in a real bind.
They are.
They're either facing sky-high premiums from private insurers
mm-hmm.
or very limited coverage from the state-backed plan.
Yeah, that's a pretty accurate assessment.
Yeah.
But it's not just wildfires that are causing problems.
Right.
Let's shift gears and talk about Florida.
Okay.
A state that knows a thing or two about natural disasters, particularly hurricanes.
Absolutely. Florida has been grappling with its own set of insurance challenges.
Yeah.
Especially after Hurricane Milton. What's the latest there?
Hurricane Milton really threw a wrench into the Florida insurance market.
Okay.
We saw nationwide a major insurer canceling policies,
okay.
particularly in Glades County.
Okay.
That county actually had the highest non-renewal rate in the country in 2023.
Wait, higher than California?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
It's surprising.
It is.
This just goes to show that this crisis is unfolding differently across the country.
Right.
But the core issues are similar. Florida's non-renewal rate was almost 3% in 2023.
Yeah.
Even higher than California's 1.8%.
So is the situation in Florida similar to California?
Mm-hmm.
With insurers pulling out and homeowners struggling to find coverage?
There are some similarities.
Okay.
But Florida's situation is unique in some ways.
Okay.
For example, the regulations in Florida are different from those in California.
Okay.
And that's affecting homeowners' options.
Can you elaborate on those regulatory differences?
Sure.
What makes Florida stand out?
Well, one key difference is Florida's 3-year rule.
Okay.
This rule prevented insurers from dropping policies that have been in effect for at least 3 years.
Okay.
However, there's been a push to change this rule.
Okay.
Some argue that it discourages new insurance companies from entering the Florida market.
So they're considering loosening regulations.
Yeah.
To attract more insurers.
Mm-hmm.
But wouldn't that potentially leave homeowners more vulnerable to being dropped?
That's a valid concern, and it's a hot topic in Florida right now. The State Department of Insurance is even holding public hearings to get feedback on these proposed changes.
Yeah.
These changes could allow companies to drop up to 5% of their policyholders.
Wow.
And even more in some cases.
So it sounds like a delicate balancing act.
It is.
Trying to stabilize the insurance market.
Yeah.
But also making sure that homeowners are protected.
Exactly. It's a complex issue with no easy answers.
We focused a lot on California and Florida.
Mm-hmm.
But this isn't just a coastal problem.
No, it's not.
This insurance crisis is a nationwide issue.
You're right, it is.
While coastal areas are feeling the most pressure,
yeah.
Inland states are also experiencing these rising costs and non-renewals.
That's right.
So what are some examples of where we're seeing these trends?
We'll take Oklahoma, for instance.
Okay.
You know, it's known for tornadoes.
Right.
Homeowners there are facing significant challenges.
Okay.
Especially those who've had wind and hail damage.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And parts of the South are seeing problems related to severe storms.
So no matter where you live, you're probably feeling the ripples of this insurance crisis.
Unfortunately, that's the reality for many.
Yeah.
And what's frustrating is we don't even have a complete picture of the national scope of this problem.
Really? Why is that? Are we missing data?
Yeah, there are data gaps. A recent article in the New York Times pointed out that 7 states didn't fully participate in the Treasury Department's data collection.
Wow.
So we're missing crucial pieces of the puzzle.
So which states are we talking about?
Florida, Alabama, Louisiana, Georgia,
okay.
Indiana, Montana, and North Dakota.
Right.
Local insurance companies in those states didn't provide data.
Okay.
So we don't have a full understanding of the situation on the ground there.
So we're dealing with a crisis that's complex, it's widespread.
Yeah.
And even a bit mysterious because we're missing some of this information.
That's right.
It's a lot.
It can feel overwhelming.
It can, and that's why we're here.
That's right.
To unpack this issue and provide some clarity.
Exactly.
And speaking of clarity, let's give our listeners a way to connect with us for even more insights.
Absolutely.
I mean, where can they find you?
You can follow meteorologist Rob Jones on Instagram at meteorologist, on TikTok at TV Meteorologist, and on YouTube, follow at Rob Jones Hurricane.
Perfect.
And you can also find Meteorology Matters in the podcast playlist.
All right, we'll be back after a short break to discuss what homeowners can do to navigate this challenging insurance landscape.
Sounds good.
Stay with us.
Welcome back to Meteorology Matters.
So before we went to break, we were painting kind of a stark picture of this homeowners insurance crisis.
Yeah.
It's a lot to take in.
It is.
But, you know, knowledge is power.
That's right.
So let's shift gears a little bit and talk about what homeowners can actually do to protect themselves in this crazy market.
That's a great point. It can feel overwhelming.
Yeah.
But there are definitely steps that you can take
okay.
to navigate this situation and make sure you've got the coverage you need. Okay, that's reassuring.
Yeah.
So where do we even begin?
Well,
What's the first piece of advice you would give to a homeowner who's like, ah, I don't even know what to do?
Yeah, don't just accept the first insurance quote you get.
Okay.
Shop around, get quotes from multiple insurers,
Okay.
compare the rates,
Okay.
look closely at what's covered,
Right.
what's not. You might be surprised by the variation out there.
Yeah, that's good advice for any major purchase, really.
It is.
Do your research, explore your options.
Exactly. And another thing to consider is your deductible.
Okay. The deductible.
Yeah, increasing your deductible, that's the amount you pay out of pocket before insurance kicks in,
Right.
can often lower your premium.
So you're taking on a little bit more risk yourself
You're.
in exchange for those lower monthly payments.
That's right. But it's important to be realistic here.
Okay.
Make sure that you can comfortably afford that higher deductible
Right.
if you actually need to file a claim.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Don't set yourself up for financial hardship.
Exactly.
Just to save a few bucks on your monthly bill, it's not worth it.
No, it's not. And while we're talking about finances,
Okay.
this might be a good time to bring up the importance of making sure your home is adequately insured for its replacement value.
Replacement value. What does that mean exactly?
It means having enough insurance coverage to actually rebuild your home from scratch
Okay.
if it's destroyed.
Right.
And I mean, at current construction costs,
Yeah.
not what it cost to build years ago,
Yeah.
you'd be surprised how many people underestimate this,
Yeah.
and they end up severely underinsured if disaster strikes.
So how do you even determine the right amount of coverage? Is it just a guessing game or?
It's not a guessing game. Talk to your insurance agent
Okay.
or a qualified appraiser
Okay.
to get an accurate assessment of your home's replacement value.
Okay.
They'll consider things like square footage,
Right.
types of building materials, use local construction costs.
So get a professional assessment. Don't just wing it.
Don't wing.
Got it. Anything else homeowners should be thinking about?
Yes, be aware of the risk factors in your specific area that
Okay.
could affect your insurance.
Okay. Like what?
Things like proximity to wildfire-prone areas, flood zones, coastlines.
Right.
Insurers are laser-focused on these risks,
Yeah.
and they'll definitely factor them into your premiums and coverage options.
So the more you know about the risks in your area,
Yes.
the better prepared you'll be to have those conversations
Exactly.
with insurers
Yeah.
and make informed decisions.
And, while we've been focused on what homeowners can do,
Right.
it's worth noting that this crisis is forcing changes within the insurance industry itself.
Yeah, that makes sense. They're facing immense pressure.
Right.
They've got to adapt somehow.
They do. One way they're adapting is by using technology
Okay.
to get better at assessing risk and setting premiums. Think artificial intelligence,
Right.
machine learning.
Yeah.
They're using these tools to analyze huge amounts of data from weather patterns to property values to
Wow.
get a more accurate picture of risk.
So they're trying to get smarter about how they evaluate risk.
They are, and that's probably a good thing in the long run, right?
Yeah, more accurate risk assessments could lead to more stable premiums for homeowners.
That's the hope. But of course, with any powerful technology,
Right.
there are always concerns.
Yeah.
We need to make sure it's being used fairly and ethically, that it's not creating new forms of discrimination or unfairly disadvantaging certain communities.
That's a really important point.
It is.
We need to be mindful of those potential downsides
Yes.
and make sure that technology is being used responsibly.
Absolutely. Another trend we're seeing is a move toward more personalized insurance policies.
Okay, so instead of those one-size-fits-all policy,
I...
you're saying insurers are starting to tailor coverage
Yes.
to each homeowner's needs and risk profile.
Exactly.
So how does that work in practice? What does a personalized policy look like?
Well, let's say you live in a wildfire-prone area.
Okay.
A personalized policy might include coverage for fire-resistant landscaping.
Okay.
Or, those home hardening measures that you've taken to reduce your risk.
Right.
Or maybe you've got a sophisticated home security system that could get you a discount on your premium.
So it's about recognizing that not all homes are the same,
Right.
and that homeowners who take steps to mitigate risk
Yes.
should be rewarded for their efforts.
Exactly. And in theory, this approach could incentivize more homeowners
Right.
to invest in risk reduction measures, which would benefit both them and the insurance companies.
So win-win.
Potentially.
Yeah.
But there are still a lot of questions about how this personalized approach
Okay.
will be implemented in practice. Will it be truly accessible and affordable for all homeowners? We'll have to wait and see.
So, as with the use of technology, we need to keep a close eye on how these trends develop and what impact they actually have on homeowners in the real world.
Yes, this is an evolving situation that requires careful attention.
Mm-hmm.
We need to find solutions that are both effective and equitable.
So we've talked about the factors driving this crisis, the steps homeowners can take,
mm-hmm.
and some of the changes happening within the insurance industry.
Yes.
But I think there's an even bigger question looming here,
mm-hmm.
one that goes beyond individual homeowners.
Yeah.
And even the insurance industry as a whole.
I think I know where you're going with this.
Okay.
You're talking about the role of government in addressing this crisis.
You got to, if climate change is a major catalyst here,
right,
and it's only going to intensify in the coming years,
mm-hmm.
shouldn't the government be doing more to help homeowners and communities adapt?
It's a question a lot of people are asking.
It is.
And there are a lot of different perspectives on what that government role should look like.
So let's explore some of those perspectives. What are some of the solutions that are being proposed?
Well, some argue that the government should provide more financial assistance to homeowners.
Okay.
Particularly those in high-risk areas.
All right.
To help them afford insurance, mm-hmm. or make their homes more resilient to climate change.
So provide direct support to the people who need it most.
Exactly. What are some other ideas?
Yeah.
Others believe the government should be investing more heavily in climate adaptation and mitigation measures.
Okay.
Things like building seawalls,
right.
strengthening infrastructure, reducing greenhouse gas emissions.
So tackling the root causes.
Tackling the root causes, essentially.
So instead of just reacting to disasters, we're trying to prevent them or at least minimize their impact.
Exactly. And then there are proposals for the government to create or expand public insurance programs, like
yeah.
the EF Fair Plan in California,
right.
to offer coverage for homeowners who can't find it in the private market.
So the government steps in as the insurer of last resort.
That's the idea. But of course, any large-scale government program
right.
raises questions about cost and sustainability,
mm-hmm.
and there's the potential for moral hazard.
Moral hazard meaning what?
Where people might take on more risk if they know the government will bail them out.
Right.
It's complicated.
There are no easy answers here.
No.
A very complex issue.
Yeah.
With a lot of competing interests and viewpoints.
Absolutely. And at the end of the day, it's up to policymakers to decide
yeah.
how to balance those interests and craft solutions that are both effective and fair.
We're talking about so much more than insurance premiums here.
We are.
We're talking about the future of homeownership, the affordability of housing.
Right.
The government's role in responding to climate change.
It's huge.
It's huge.
You're right. This is a much bigger conversation that we're just beginning to have.
And it's a conversation we need to keep having. We'll be right back with some final thoughts on this complex and evolving issue. Welcome back to Meteorology Matters. We've been unpacking this homeowners insurance crisis, and it's clear that this is a huge issue with consequences that go way beyond just those monthly payments.
Yeah, we're talking about the stability of entire communities.
Absolutely.
The affordability of housing.
Right.
The fundamental right to feel secure in your own home.
Exactly. And as we've discussed.
Yeah.
Climate change is a major catalyst for this whole thing.
It is, as extreme weather events become more frequent
yeah.
and more severe, the financial strain on insurance companies
right.
just keeps mounting.
It's a tough situation, and that strain inevitably trickles down to homeowners.
It does.
We're seeing it in those higher premiums,
yeah.
the non-renewals, and fewer coverage options.
Uh-huh. It's tough for everyone.
It's a vicious cycle, and if we don't find ways to break it, the consequences could be devastating.
They really could.
I mean, what worries me is that homeownership could become unattainable
mm.
for a large portion of the population if we don't address this head on.
Yeah, that's a valid concern. And it's not unthinkable
yeah.
that we could end up with a two-tiered system
right.
where those who can afford to live in safe, insured homes
right.
are protected
right.
while others are left vulnerable to the whims of nature
right.
and the financial fallout of climate change.
Absolutely. Raises some serious questions about fairness and equity.
It does.
So where do we go from here?
Well,
we've talked about a lot of challenges.
Yeah.
But what are some potential paths forward?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where can we find some hope in all of this?
Well, as we touched on earlier, the role of government is going to be crucial.
Okay.
There's a growing call for government intervention to help stabilize the insurance market.
Okay.
Maybe provide financial assistance to homeowners
mm-hmm.
and invest in those climate resilience measures
right.
that can actually reduce risk.
Sounds like a multifaceted problem requires multifaceted solutions.
It does. We can't just keep putting Band-Aids on a system
right.
that's fundamentally strained.
We need to invest in innovative solutions.
Yes.
Maybe it's developing new building material that can withstand extreme weather, or promoting sustainable land use practices, or even exploring alternative insurance models that are better suited to the realities of climate change.
Sure.
There's got to be a better way.
There might be. We need to shift away from the traditional mindset of simply insuring against risk.
Right.
And embrace a more holistic approach, one that emphasizes prevention, mitigation, and adaptation.
I like that, working with nature, not against it.
Exactly. And that shift requires collaboration across the board.
Absolutely.
We need all levels of government, the private sector, and individual homeowners all working together to create a more resilient future.
And the good news is we're already seeing some inspiring examples of communities coming together to find creative solutions.
That's right.
Like, what? Give us some hope. What are people doing that's actually working?
Well, for instance, some coastal communities are implementing what are called managed retreat programs.
Okay.
They're strategically relocating homes and infrastructure away from high-risk areas.
Okay.
It's a tough decision.
Right. But it's a proactive way to reduce exposure to future disasters.
It's a bold move, but it makes sense in the long run.
It does. What other approaches are you seeing?
Yeah.
Well, we're seeing communities invest in what's called natural infrastructure.
Okay.
Things like restoring wetlands and planting trees.
Right.
To act as buffers against storms and reduce flooding.
Right.
You know, these nature-based solutions not only protect homes and property, but they also have ecological benefits.
It's a win-win.
It is.
I love that, finding ways to work with nature, not against it.
Exactly. And there's so many other innovative ideas popping up.
Yeah.
From community-based insurance pools to micro-insurance programs designed specifically for low-income homeowners.
Wow.
People are getting creative and finding solutions that work for their unique circumstances.
That's encouraging to hear. It shows that while this homeowners insurance crisis presents some very real challenges, it also presents an opportunity for innovation.
For collaboration and a fundamental rethinking of how we live in a world increasingly shaped by climate change.
It's a call to action for all of us to get involved, stay informed,
absolutely,
and work together to create a more resilient future.
Well said. So to our listeners out there, we want to hear from you.
We do.
What are your thoughts and experiences with this homeowners insurance crisis?
Yeah.
Have you faced challenges finding or affording coverage?
Mm-hmm.
Share your stories and insights on social media using the hashtag, #MeteorologyMatters.
And don't forget to follow meteorologist Rob Jones on Instagram at meteorologist, on TikTok at TV meteorologist, and on YouTube, follow at Rob Jones Hurricane.
Perfect.
You can also find Meteorology Matters in the podcast playlist. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, while this situation may seem daunting, knowledge is power. The more we understand about the forces at play, the better equipped we'll be to navigate this complex landscape and advocate for solutions that work for everyone.